He is the God that fight for me. So I don't have to fight. I stop fighting and I start trusting in God. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Thank you for your labor of love. So, good evening. Welcome. Continue praying for our pastor. Continue praying for the ministry. In fact, continue praying for one another. Amen. So tonight, we are going to launch right into it. I got a few things that I want to read through. Try not to make too many comments, right? I will try. But try to read more. And you can follow the reading. If you don't understand my way of, you know, reading, you can follow. That's why we have all that. I like all this technology. It won't be no more excuses. I don't know what he was saying. So, let us read from Hebrew chapter 6. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrines of baptism, or laying hands on of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. You know, I've seen in this church many of those, you know, principles that people still want to go back to and redefine them again. You know, some people left the church because they didn't like the way we do communion. Well, then find a place that you like that they're doing it. Matter of fact, the place they left, that's the way they were doing it right, according to him. So I don't know why he's doing here. He should stay there. Anyway, I'm not trying to be mean. Some other people live for things like that. They try to redefine, you know, ever trying to. But that's not correct. This is the way the prophet, you know. We need to just put that behind and start moving forward. Paul says, let's go on to perfection. And start trying to redefine by water baptism and all these things, resurrections, you know. That is the basic, and that's been laid out already. We don't need to go back and try to lay a new way or system. Amen. So let us pray for our Heavenly Father. We pray tonight that you give us the strength, Father. Give us the wisdom and the revelation, Father. Help me to get out of the way. And let you, Father, have your way tonight. Be with those that are here, Father. Bless them tonight. Bless them for the effort they made, Father. And we ask you to speak to us, Father, tonight. Father, those that are sick, Father, afflicted, we, in the name of Jesus, we believe in, Father, that you are going to continue doing the work that you already promised you will do for us, Father. We don't have to beg you, Father. We just come to the throne of mercy and grace and plead our case, because I know we have a judge and we have also an advocate that will, for us, Father, we plead our cases. And we know it's going to be for our best interest and have. Father, we love you and we thank you. And we are so grateful for your goodness, Father, to us. And we want to bow our hearts in gratitude and adoration of all the things you have done for us and you're still doing. And we pray, Father, that you will speak to us tonight. It is our desire. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So the Lord is calling for us to press into maturity. I think this is the time to be already there, Brother Carbo. You know, when I start going back, trying to go back and forward, you will never make it. Oh, wait, I forgot something. I need to go back. You know, when you're coming back, people are going forward. Everything should be settled by now in our hearts. So we want to press on to mature. We need to move away from these elementary teachings that Paul is calling here and embrace the full grace of God, embrace his full redemption. We need to embrace the whole full anointing. It's an anointing right here. Forget about yesterday. Forget about concentrating that anointing. Because it's not me. It's the anointing that is in you, the anointing that is in me. So we need to concentrate on that. Why? Because this is the opportunity that we have to be transformed.
Okay?
And this is a year that we need to step up or just get out of the way and let somebody move forward. I mean, this year's already gone. So next year will be another year of opportunity. This one, if you missed it, don't worry. We're still here. So that means we still have an opportunity to move forward and grow to perfection. Amen. So, and a step into our destiny. You know, we need to progress not only physically, mentally, we progress in our revelation towards God. Every time we come, every day, as you know, we eat every day. We try to stay healthy, you know, and we need to, our bodies need to get stronger, but our, you know, also Christian walk has to get stronger. So we need to always press towards, you know, that mark. That end. And Brother Brown said revelation, that's one thing that we need the most. Because revelation is what keeps us knowing more about Him. The more He reveals Himself to us, the more we move forward. We don't want to get stuck, you know, arguing about stuff that already been said and done by the prophet and preacher. So it's just like trying to redefine, you know, the Godhead. But we need to go back to that. That's already been laid out. Amen. So tonight we are going to talk about title is Attitude and Gratitude or / Gratitude. So sometimes I like to say, and we like to sing a little lyric that says, I want less of me. I don't know how you can want less, but have less of me and more who? Of Him. And we sing it. And that's what the Bible says, sing with understanding. Not just sing because you're hearing everybody singing, so I'm going to join. Because one of these days, those words are going to show up again. But you said this to me, that you want less of you and you want more of me. Well, we need more of Him, and we need less attitude. That's what Paul said, you know, let's list all those attitudes and let's move into gratitude.
Yeah.
You know, that's my title. And gratitude is the quality of being thankful.
Right.
Be thankful that you have a church. Be thankful you have a pastor. Be thankful you have brothers and sisters. Be thankful that you are not the guy that used to be.
Right.
See? And be ready to show appreciation. Less of this attitude, flesh attitude, and more gratitude.
Amen.
I mean, we're so blessed, people.
Amen.
We should be grateful for what God has done to us.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to return kindness. You know? Brother Branham says, and we continue reading now. Oh, I put the so Brother Branham said, everlasting life, he said, but first, I want to express my gratitude to Jesus Christ. See? The Son of God that has saved me and have washed me in His own blood and give me this grand and glorious hope that someday I will see Him.
Amen.
Face to face, and I will not stand there in condemnation because His blood has already redeemed me.
Amen.
You should be grateful every time you come to church. You should be grateful every morning when you wake up. You are blessed. It says, and I am redeemed tonight by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He has given me to be fellow citizens of the same kingdom that you all are going to, and we together are joint heirs with Him in glory. What a marvelous thing it is. Amen. Less attitude, more and more gratitude to God for what He has done for us.
Yes.
Amen. Also, Brother Man said, it's manifestation of the Spirit. Say, The man sitting there next to you now, he's talking to someone. Could be someone here too, he says. The man that is sitting next to you, that must be your husband. I see there is a connection. You know? I felt his spirit go out in gratitude. So when you come over here, don't you think whatever spirit you come with, it's going to project? So don't you think, Brother Doug said, I heard that, I felt that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't come in the right mental attitude, we're going to get there. Not in gratitude for what God has done for you, and that you have a church that you can come and praise the Lord, that you have a place that you can come and be helped and be prayed. You know, either one thing or the other is going to reflect. A good attitude or a bad attitude.
Right.
Oh, but I try to hold back. You cannot hold back because your body is going to reflect whatever's inside you. If you're happy, it's going to reflect it. Huh? You're going to smile. You're going to be happy. You can say, I am happy. Well, that's not a reflection of happiness. In fact, they say that you can that you cannot lie under one of those lie detectors. Because it doesn't matter what you said, your body is saying something different. That's what they call a lie detectors. So I don't care what you think, and you can come here all, you know, made up, I'm going to act like this, and I'm going to do this. There's a spirit that goes forward. We all reflect in something. Either you're reflecting God or you're reflecting something else. See? So, what is an attitude? Because I want to get to attitude, and then we later on, if I have time, we speak some more about gratitude. But attitude is my main subject. Attitude is a point of view. Everybody has a point of view. Okay? I thought I wrote the definition. Yeah, it's right there. A set of way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. Typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. So if whatever you think, whatever you feel, whatever you are thinking or feeling about, it's going to reflect. Period. You cannot avoid that one. It says, reflect in a person's behavior, good or bad. Bad attitude, good attitude, it's going to reflect. You cannot cover it up. You might try to cover it up, like everything is okay. But the body is saying something different. So, a point of view. And we all got point of views, right? We all got ideas, and we all got feelings, and we all got, you know, belief and values. And all that complexity just makes who you are and the way you think. And the way you have a point of view. But when you get to the point that you say, well, my conclusion is, this is my point of view and this is my conclusion. You know what you're saying? I don't care what you said. This is what I'm going to believe. When people tell me, let me tell you my conclusion, I say, well, okay. That means that your mind is made up and you ain't going to take anything else. That's your conclusion mean? I'm done. So never put a period, you know, like Brother Brown says, in a sentence, leave it open. When you come to church, be open-minded.
Right.
I know Brother Doug just said this the other day when he was preaching. Keep your mind in blank. Forget about what you know. Listen. Maybe you can learn something. Because when you said, oh, I already know that, right, and I know where he's going, and I know the conclusion, well, you're going to see there in comatose, like, you know. Because nothing goes in, nothing goes out. So that is what an attitude is. It's a point of view, and we all got points of view. However, Brother Van says in expectation, we always get what we expect.
Right.
When people expect anything, well, then they usually get what you look for. It is the mental attitude that you have. Remember, this, and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right attitude. So it's better to come to church with the right attitude. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. Amen? So, an attitude, a mental attitude, see, is what I just said while ago, involved what you believe, how you feel in that day, because we are creatures of, you know, up and down. Sometimes we feel happy, sometimes we feel bored, sometimes we feel mad, and sometimes I'm sad, and sometimes I don't know what to do with myself. You know, we are creatures that, you know, go up and down, up and down. See, because every day we got different feelings. Things generate feelings in us. And then we believe certain things and we value certain things, and that's what shape our approaches. That is how shape how you are going to deal with a challenge. The way you believe, the way you your values are, and the way you think about this and that, that is going to take care of a situation for you. And people, you know, in an everyday walk, you know, you meet people, at school, at work, everywhere, and this situation that happens, the way you tackle any challenges, the way you think, the way your attitude towards whatever it is. Amen. So your attitude is very important. So some people are going to be pessimistic, and some people are going to be more optimistic. I think that an optimistic is a way to a person is a way to look at everything. You know, I heard that some people look at a glass of water, you know, and if it's half, you know, they said, the optimistic said, well, it's half of water left, you know. Okay. And the pessimistic said, well, we have half of water, you know. So it's not missing half, but we have half. It's just the way you're looking at the glass of water.
Right.
See? And that's how you and I are. Our attitude, you look at things different than I look at things. But we want to look at things being optimistic, you know. I can think about Jesus and the day that he want to feed the multitude. It was nothing to eat. Nobody had anything. The disciples said, what are we going to do? We cannot go to the store anyway. They have not much money to feed all those people, multitude of people. Here comes a little child with a basket. You know, what is it, 5 fish or 3 loaves? I don't know, something like that. It was just a small amount. And probably the disciple being so pessimistic, he said, that's just for me. I don't know what everybody's going to eat. But Jesus didn't look at it that way. He was more, you know, optimistic when he looked at it. Why? Because he knew who he was. And that, who he was and what he was, made his attitude what he was. Because he wasn't looking at his attitude. He was looking at the attitude based on his belief, based on what God promised, based on who he was and what God had sent him for. He didn't base none of his attitude on what he knew. So he said, just bring him over here. Well, you know the rest of the story. You know, and a person that has a good attitude is not a person that is destructive. You know, it's more constructive. Talking about criticism, that's what Brother Doug talked a few weeks ago about criticism. And a person that has a good attitude will try to help. Try to be positive, you know. But a person that is not, he tried to, I told you that. See, that's when you find yourself in that situation. You should have blah, 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 blah. You know, no help at all. He's already down, so we're going to push it down some more. So, Jesus Christ had an attitude. An attitude is based in good or bad, depending how you handle attitudes, you know. We know we have the law of contrast. And that said, you know, if you have love, you have hate. If you have war, you have peace. You know, it's what we call the law of contrast. Well, we all have to deal with that. Okay? So Jesus Christ, he got angry, right? When he walked in the temple and they were selling and doing all their business, and he just got upset and he just turned the tables and he just took a whipped, and there we go. But he didn't sin. You can get angry, but don't sin. You know, the Bible said, don't let the sun set on your anger. So if you get angry, then deal with it. Go and apologize. So don't do it against somebody, you know. Do it against whatever, you know. Jesus didn't take it on the people and whip the people and kick them around and I'm tired of you. No. He just turned the tables. That anger wasn't toward the people. It was toward the temple that he loved. You know, and you said, well, we're not supposed to hate. Love and hate. Yes, you do. The Bible said, love God and hate what? Evil. You got to deal with this contrast every day. And your attitude will determine which way you go. Oh, but Christians are peaceful. Yeah, but we are raging in a war and fighting a war. So yeah, we're supposed to be peaceful, but we don't war against flesh. We war against something else. So your attitude will determine which way you go with this thing. How are you going to take care of the challenge that come every day? You're going to get mad at the person, or you're going to get mad at the devil that uses the person? Because Rabbi said it's not your brother, it's the devil. So if you're going to get upset at Satan, you know, and try to help your brother. So we all have to deal with this every day. And your attitude will determine, sometimes it will determine sometimes people's destiny, you know. I don't know. Because the way we act could affect somebody else. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God is in the midst of us right now. Because that's the way he promised. And he's under obligation that if two or three got in his name, he has to be there. Because he promised it. See? Brahman says, there it is. It is up to God to bring it forth. It is up to God to send the rain. It is you to accept God and his word. Hallelujah. And it is up to God to bring his word to pass. No man's words any more than his word. And God's not words a bit more than what his word is. So your word, his word, that's all we got. And you are your word. So God said he will be here. But that's not the end of that. That's God's side. Now look at the outside. And I verily say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind in earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever you shall loose in earth, you shall loose in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything, see, that's the attitude. If two of you come, and that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. So yeah, he promised to be here. But you got a thing to do too. You got to believe that he's here. Your attitude is, I know he's going to do his part, his word. But your word is, I believe. That should be our attitude when we come to church. We came to church not to sit and probably be looked at, good dressed up. No, we came not to be looked. We came to believe that God was going to bless me today. That is the attitude that we should come to church. But that is your part. But Ron said, now, this may seem strange. Everybody be real reverent now. If you can get the person just what I was trying to do to that woman, was get her into the right mental attitude. She wouldn't have to be prayed for. If you come in this church in the right mental attitude, you don't have to even be prayed for. Because when you live here, you'll be completely whole and healed. Amen. So your attitude can determine how you leave this place. Amen. The right mental attitude. See? The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. Do you believe that? So we don't even have to lay hands on you. You can be healed right there where you are. If you can believe that this is the church that you're supposed to be in, this is your pastor, and you respect the ministry and you respect one another, you come in the right mental attitude. See? All you have to do then is believe God. So the strong attitudes too. Like I said, it's good attitude, strong attitude. Matthew 13 says, and they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, saving his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works. They are because of their unbelief. And unbelief is a bad attitude. If you don't believe that you're in the right church, if you don't believe that this is your pastor, if you don't believe that this is what God sent you to, if you don't believe that you're in the right place, then according to this, you know, God cannot perform be any help to you. Unbelief. People were hostile. See? Towards Jesus. I'm getting somewhere with this. As soon as I laid all this. Brother Brown says, faith without work is dead. We look, brother, the kingdom of God don't come by education. That's right. It comes by the surrendered heart to God. See the attitude you have to come in. That's a mental attitude. That's the way you have to think you are. That's the way you are. What he is, you are. He says, and I am not trying to support any ignorance, but I am saying this, my dear friend, that's a simple child faith. Don't seek for knowledge. Now, you think that I am throwing it at the doctors. I believe doctors. I believe hospitals, institutions. Whatever can help anybody, God send more. Because some people are saying, you know, if you go to see a hospital or you go see a doctor, then you don't have faith. Well, that's a bad attitude. Yeah. You're going to help a lot of people with that. Some people even pull people out of the message, you know, because, you know. But Brother Brown said, I'm not against doctors. Whatever help anybody can, God send more. See? But there's not a one of them that ever heal anybody, and we know that. That's the attitude. And they don't profess to heal anybody, the doctor, somebody. They claim that as they assist in nature, God is the healer. So I don't care if you take the pill or you don't take the pill, God is still the healer, not the pill, not the doctor. But then you don't put everybody out because they go and see the doctor. See, we don't come with those kind of attitudes. If I could place it in my hand, as I told you a few nights ago, all the medicine in the world would heal that hand, wouldn't heal that hand. You know, somebody, how much medicine. If I die and they embalm me and sew the hands up and put all kind of medicine on it, 50 years from today, it would still be there. Medicine does not heal. You take the life out of there, there are no healing. Life is the healer. That is God. And life is God. Jesus come that you might have abundant life, more life than what you normal life is. To believe on him, to be healed by faith. So it doesn't matter who pray for you. You know, I'm not the healer. Brother Doug is not the healer. God is the healer. Amen. So if you come with that kind of attitude, then, you know, we try to help each other. See? It says, I am not excited, but I know what I am speaking. The right mental toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. Amen. So, we come to church because we are seeking after God. It is not seeking about the flesh. Now, if Brother Branham would, if he was here today preaching, and he under that anointing revealed the secrets of your heart or heal you, who is doing the healing and who is doing all this? Huh? The anointing. Right. It's not Brother Branham. Right. So if I'm standing here or Andy standing here, Brother Doug is standing here, who is doing the preaching? Okay, it's my voice. But well, who's doing the transformation and the change and who is doing the healing and who is doing everything? It's the anointing. The Holy Spirit, right? God has nothing to do with that. We're just a tool in God's hands. But he's the one doing it all. So to be against anybody, to have a bad attitude towards the ministry or towards anybody, what you're doing is trying to correct something that you had no way to correct, because you might correct the flesh, but you cannot correct God. Because it's not the man, it is God. So we have to be careful. Let me give you an example. Miriam, in Numbers 12, and Miriam and Aaron, now Miriam was the sister of Moses, and Aaron was the brother, spake against Moses, talking about attitudes, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. You know, when I look at this, I'm not into a vendetta or anything. I forgot, in fact, that that was the situation about marriage. I was just looking for something, and God gave me the scripture. Then I look at it, oh, it has to do with marriage. Well, so be it. Here you go. Because I don't have nothing, I don't have a pawn in this race anyway. So who has married, for he has married an Ethiopian woman. She's a colored woman, Ethiopians, dark. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Well, you know, it's just like you telling me, they are telling Brother Doug, you're not the only one that God speak to. Really? All right, let's continue. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they say, had the Lord indeed spoke only to Moses, had he not spoken also by us? Well, God speak to you. I'm not saying that God don't speak to you, but hold your horses here. Lord, and the Lord heard it. Huh? So be careful, because somebody is listening. The good, the bad attitudes is listening. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron. And, oh, okay, he showed up, huh? Can you imagine today if he shows up and says, I don't like that conversation between you and what you're doing. Can you imagine? The reason we don't fear to come to church is because sins are not being exposed yet. But the man said, it's going to be a time that sin will not come to the store. But see, can you imagine you talking to a brother or a sister and wrong conversations or anything, or maybe agreeing on correcting somebody else or about somebody else, and God will show us in the sin? If God do that just one time, the whole thing will stop forever. I know that much. So you don't think that God can do that then? It's what I'm getting, you know. Oh, well, that's okay. That will not happen. All right? I leave you in your, you know, paradise. That will never happen to you. And I pray that will never happen to you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. So if he showed up in behalf of Moses, don't you think he will show up again? But we don't fear God. See, that's what Moses told Aaron. You guys don't fear God. That's why they continue the way they are. Because, but one of these days, you know, one of these days, all these things will stop. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, and the Lord will make himself known unto him in vision and will speak unto him in dream, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. He was more than a prophet. They were prophet. Miriam was a prophetess. Aaron was a high priest. But Moses was special. Amen. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Hallelujah. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall be he behold. Therefore then were you are not afraid to speak against my servant Moses. You know, how far have we come? I can do whatever I want anyway. I don't care. Nothing's going to happen. I will look at that attitude a little more. You know, less of attitude and more gratitude is what I'm saying. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from all of the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. She was cursed. See, white snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and he behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I be my Lord now, huh? Before they criticize it, now Allah said, lay not the sin upon us where we have done foolishly. Well, finally he realized what he has done. And where we have sinned, I thought your sin is unbelief. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. That's what leprosy will do. And Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, and beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit on her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out for the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought back again. And afterward the people removed from Hazerah and pitched unto the wilderness of Paran. Now this is what Brother Branham says. Now we want to turn our attention just a minute to the attitude of Miriam and Aaron. Must have been a good attitude. He said, they thought that Moses has done wrong. Well, good luck with that one. How do you know that he has done wrong? We continue reading. They wanted to correct him. God was kindled. You don't correct. I'm not sure you in a minute how this word. God was speaking to them truly, but he said, if there is be one among you who is a prophet, I will visit him in miracles and vision and appear to him in dream and so forth. But Moses, I have spoke mouth to mouth with him. And Miriam was stricken with leprosy immediately, and Aaron running. Because Miriam was Moses' sister, own sister. So it doesn't pay to talk about God's servant, does it? Because with the right mental attitude, you need to receive from God his promises and his word. We're not going to receive it with a bad attitude. God is not going to manifest himself. Where there are disagreements, where there are contention, where there are fights, will not. A wrong attitude will chase him out of here. Right. It don't take but one bad attitude. Not it has to be against your pastor. It could be against somebody else. No attitude, less attitude and more gratitude. Forget about bringing attitudes in this building.
Right.
Amen. I want to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Amen. And so God spoke to Aaron here and told him, saying that what he has done by Moses, said, did you fear to say those things about him? And that's the problem. People don't fear because they don't know. They think that God is going to do nothing. And so Aaron run to Moses and said his sister was stricken and there, white with leprosy. Of course, he says, would you let her die? And Moses threw himself before God and plead for her. And Miriam was stricken with leprosy, thought she had to stay in Israel, halted their journey 7 days according to the law till they could bring her out of the camp. Brother Branham said, respect. And so Miriam ought to know better. We should know better if we have a bad attitude or not. Aaron to know better than knowing this, that Moses was led by the Holy Spirit of God to do what he was going to do. How do you know that? How do they knew that he was wrong? And trying to correct him. Because they didn't know that God already, that he was talking to God. And he probably already told God what he was going to do. And God said, do it. Now, there's two persons, though, two characters here, Miriam and Aaron, that they didn't know anything. And we don't know anything. We think we know. We try to correct somebody, but you don't know what God is doing with that body. So you have to be careful. See, Moses was led by the Spirit of God to do that. See? So, we have to respect one another. We have to respect each other. And sisters, I always said this and never have said it for a long time. You need to respect your husband. Because sometimes you don't agree with your husband. I'm not talking to your sisters. Talking sisters are there. And you disagree with your husband. And you tell him what he needs to do. I mean, it can be dumb. Don't try to correct your husband. You know what you need to do? Just go to the boss. I tell my wife, if I do something wrong and you don't agree with me, it's because you don't understand what I'm doing. So if you still don't agree with me, talk to my boss. He sent me to do it. Now, you want to fight this? Go and ask him. And then he will tell you who is right and who is wrong. So we need to be careful if we don't understand how things work. See, because God already talked to Moses. So sister, respect husband. Just if there's something that is not right, your husband is acting different, something is happening, you don't understand the whole thing, just get down to your knee and tell God to help him. Don't tell God what he needs to do to your husband. Forget about that. God will do what he needs to do, but you need to get down on your knees and pray for him that God will. And stop trying. Yeah, you can help. You can always, massages help and whatever, And loving, all that helps. And bring him the soup and in bed, and everything. All that helps. And that's fine. But don't try to correct a person, your husband. Because I don't think, at this stage where we are, I believe that we are doing the best, us, men, I'm talking, we are doing the best that we know how to do. Okay? Well, Iran said, try to do God a service without it being God's will. And what I'm saying that, you see, wives, and husband, the same thing. It's a connection here, a relationship, I'm not saying that Brother Doug is your husband. It's not. But you are a body. And he's just woman in charge of this body. So we try to help each other, not to destroy each other or try to correct each other. And if we do it, let's do it. The only way it can be done is by love. Out of that, forget it. If you think a sister or a brother is doing something that if he continues doing that, it's going to just get in a mess or you're going to get deeper in something, you need to pray for that brother and let God speak to you. And maybe God will not speak to you. You say, God, maybe you don't want to use me. You can use, but I'm praying, send somebody. Amen. But if God speaks to you, then you go to your brother. And when you start talking to your brother, this is what God told me. He will agree or she will agree because nobody knows her situation but her and God. That's the secret of the heart being revealed. And she knows that she hasn't talked to nobody else. So she or he will know if this is God or not. But the way the conversation will go. Do not go with a concern. If you have a concern about someone doing something wrong, do not go try to stress somebody with a concern. You're going to make things worse, matters worse. Get to pray. And maybe God don't even send you. But get to pray. Don't try to correct situation that you don't even know what's going on. You don't know what God is doing to that person, how God is dealing with that person. See? This is another Brother Brown says, 65:1-11:27b. Try to do God's service with a prophet. And your pastor should never tell a prophet what to do. See? They tried to tell Moses what to do. She was a prophetess and he was a priest, but a priest should not tell or a pastor should not tell a prophet what to do. That's why in this message it's a bad thing going on that people try to correct Brother Branham. Leave it alone. You don't understand. You don't have no revelation. Leave it alone. I got to give you the revelation. In the meantime, keep what you got until something better will come. But don't try to criticize. Like Brother Branham says, oh yeah, don't try to strain out, a prophet. He says, or you evangelist, a pastor. See, Andy and I, we are not here to strain out Brother Doug. We are here to help and support Brother Doug. And we told you many times, I will never preach or I will never do anything above what we or what he's preaching. Because that's not my anointing. That's what we're going to. He has an anointing, and I have another anointing, and my anointing is not that anointing to be correcting him. He says, an evangelist tell a pastor, see, each one of has offices, and he perfectly identifies. So he went in with the fire and was stricken down with leprosy, talking again about these cases. So, I'm not here to straighten out anybody. In fact, I need to be straightened out. I'm not perfect yet. I still make mistakes. Choices are there. So, if I cannot even straighten myself, you know, what I'm going to look at somebody else trying to straighten them out. I don't say that we can help somebody. We do. We can help. It has to be in the right love and connection. I mean, it has to in the right way to do these things. You know, I had to put my son out of the house. He was turning 18. He thought he was free, and he started doing things that I didn't like. And I sit down with him, and I said, listen, and this is the hardest thing I had to do. I said, listen, we are not agreeing here. You're going one way, and I'm going another way. We should go with me, but I'm not going to go that way. And this is my house, and I am a minister, and you are not, you know, you need to respect, you know, because see, I had to supposed to order my house and have my house in order and a minister. How can I tell somebody else to do that when I can do my house? So something is not working here. And it hurt what I had to do, but I said, I tell you what, I'll get you an apartment. You're 18 years old now. You're working already. I'll get you an apartment, and I will help you the first month, and you're working, you can take care of it, but you need to move out. You cannot live here. Not in that condition. I got rules, not in this house. Well, that's what we did. He went and moved with a friend, you know. So years went by, and there were certain rules in my house. You know, if that's the way you're going to act and that's the way you're going to do, you know, you're not allowed in the house. He was married at the time or later, and I said, even your wife, you know what I believe. So if your wife come, make sure she's respectable. You know, I said, you know what I believe. You was raised in this message.
Right.
So be, if I mean, you can come, but you respect my house. Respect what I believe.
Right.
Years went by, and I miss most of those beginning years of my three grandchildren. Because, you know, they didn't bring him home, and they couldn't because of the way they were acting. I mean, I will receive the grandchildren, but they were not going to bring it. They kept them away for years. Not that they were doing that in spite of me. I mean, I'm saying that's how the thing happened. So sometimes, you know, we have to do drastic things that we don't like to do. But, and people will not understand why we do things. So anyway, it's been years now. He came back and he apologized, and we had some words. And anyway, things are straight out now. At least we are in good visiting relationship. He can come to the house, and that's worked out. But I had to make a decision. See, we don't like to do it, but we had to do that sometime. We had to respect each other. And we have to respect the anointing. If you don't respect the office, respect that anointing. See? Now, the man says, you know, the pastor should not strain out the prophet, and the evangelist should not strain out the pastor. And now, you can have some gifts that are there, but you don't have a gift to strain out the pastor, anybody, or the prophet. I haven't heard none of those gifts. And even if you have a gift, it's lower than a prophet. It's the highest one. And you cannot go up to straighten out anybody. The prophet can come down and straighten out. But if you have a little gift, you cannot, even if it's a pastor gift, you cannot go up and straighten somebody up the ladder. Because that anointing was put on that person by God before the foundation of the world. That is not the person. That is an anointing. And the Bible says, do not touch my anointed one. See, the anointing is what we're talking about here on that person. Are you going to tell God what to do? Who set you like a referee to tell what is right and wrong? No? Pray. Right. If you think something is not right, pray. Right. And maybe you get straightened out and you find out that you was part of the problem. Yeah. This is another example. But when he was strong, talking about Uzziah, whatever you pronounce that name. He said, but when he was strong, he was the king of Judah, Israel. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. See, he became famous. He became a powerful king. He did a lot for Israel. He set up the armies. He did help. And in those years, the whole thing bloomed, and he had a lot of people liked him, and he had a big reputation, and even the kings around him will respect him. But he kept growing and become too strong. See, it says over here, for he transgressed against the Lord of his God. He went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. See, that was not his position. That was not his job. But he thought he was so big that he could do that. And sometimes we feel big enough to do what we're not supposed to, step up. And Azariah, the priest, went after him, and with him, 80 priests, the Lord, that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, see, it appertained not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but not the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thy honor or for thy Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth. Now he get upset. So they're trying to strain him out, give him a chance, and no, I am the king. Well, he says, while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead. Oh, well, see? He got cursed before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief of priests, and all the priests look upon him, and behold, he was leprosy. The same thing that happened to Miriam. Trying to correct, trying to go. Make fun out of. And ask him why you did that without consent. I mean, don't you think God speak to us and told us that you're not supposed to do that? Oh, yeah? Well, that was God's different story. God didn't tell him anything. He said, please look up unto him. Behold, he was... Listen, I'm not trying to give you some fear tactics here. This is not what this is all about. But this is our example, Paul says, in the Old Testament, so we can learn that we don't do that. I'm not trying to be a fear tactic here that if you continue doing, you're going to have leprosy. No, this is not that. He says, and the priest of the priest looked upon him, and behold, he was leprosy. Okay? And then he says, 21, and said the king was a leper unto the day of his death. So he died that way. At least Miriam got healed. And dwelling in the several houses, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Hotam or Jotam, his son, was ever king of the house, judging the people. Brother Brown said, we seen self-assaulted men, like this king, Uzziah, who tried to take the place of an anointed office. And the only one that can do that is God, because it's God anointing. The office of a man in the church is anointed, not appointed. I don't want to go against the anointing. I want to take full advantage of the anointing here tonight. Because I know who that anointing is. See, the church, the pastor, the evangelist, the prophet, the apostle must be the anointed office of God, not elected by man. And it happens in this place. Somebody wanted to get Andy to be the next preacher and both brother dog out. What a... You don't know. I feel for them because they don't know what situation they put in themselves. Right. You decide who's going to get an anointing and who are you? Who died and made you God to decide who is anointed for what? I'm not scolding you guys. But if we're going to move forward, we need to understand these things. Remember what Satan did too? Satan left his estate. Yeah. He wanted to be God. And you know how that turned out to be. That's a position. He had a state. He had a place and a position in heaven. But he wasn't satisfied with that. He wanted more than that. He wanted to be God and be adored like God. So he left his state. And he paid for that because he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. That's the end of it. You and I, we have a place and a position in this body. And that place and position was not elected by nobody. God pushed you before the foundation of the world. He gifted you. He anointed you to have a place. And that place is for you to respect everybody's place, and everybody place to respect each other. Amen? Amen? Because it was not appointed by anybody. See? Do not touch my anointed and my prophets. Galatians 1:8, Paul says, but thought we or angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that's what happened to Miriam. And I went to say he was cursed. See? So when we start preaching something other than what is already being preached to us, see, we'll be accursed. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Brother Brown says. I preach what Paul preached. And this pulpit, we preach what Paul preached. We are not preaching nothing other than. We preaching the originally. See? Brother Brown said, now remember, the deacon is a policeman. And a deacon office is actually more strict than most any office in the church. So they just look to you kind of strict and mean. That's how God made them. Because they thought they had to put up with. I mean, if they had to put up with me, yes. Then it would be tough. I don't know of an office any more stricter than the deacon office. That's right, because he got a real job. And he's God's man. It's not your man. My man, he's God's man. God put him over there. See? So if you want to force that you don't like him, go have a meeting with God. He's the one that put him there. Oh, yeah, but we elected him. No, you didn't elect anything. He was already elected before the foundation of the world. You just agreed with the word, with the Holy Spirit that day. That's all you did. When we got together, the Holy Spirit, those that say, yes, the Holy Spirit, in one accord, in one, got them all together to do that, to appoint him. But that wasn't you appointing, it was him appointing. See? He says, all right, the tape is by contract, talking about the trustees, the gates by contract, don't know just exactly what the contract is expired by doing the tape, but the trustee, this belongs to the trustee, not to the deacons, not to the pastor, and not to nobody. See? That's their responsibility. God chose them for that and gifted them for that, to take care of the business of the church and contracts. See? They write contracts, as I understand it, and if this is wrong, then the trustee is correct. This trustee has an arrangement with the person who is making the tape, and the tapes are by franchise. So whatever you think they're doing wrong, you know, you're wrong. Because they're doing what they know what to do, what they're anointed. There's a gift. A government. See? And then Brabant says in Humbly Thyself, that is it. That is it. Every piece in the church must work together, and you must keep up your part of it. So we see what time we are living. We may be closer than you think we are. Jesus never made himself a reputation. He was God in flesh. But he didn't want to rise above in the flesh. He would not let that flesh feel like puffed off. No. Oh, I know, I'm God, and what are you talking about? No more than you do, and you better not talk. No, he could have, but then he took the form of what? Of a servant. He came to serve. not to try to stray and correct everybody.
And he could have done it.
See, that's the word that do that in our life. See, no reputation. But the Bible says now that they wait to get something done. That's the way to get something done. Now, that is the way you congregation act to feel about your pastor. Feeling is an attitude, right? An attitude is based on feelings, on thoughts. So we have to have the right feel for our pastor. See, that's when God will answer. You want God to answer your prayers? You want God to help you? Then he says that when God will answer, see, if we. That's right. You got to approach God's gift in the right way. With reverence. And ministry and minister's gifts. They are gifts in the body. Five spiritual gifts that predestinated and foreordained of God to the church. I know there is nine local gifts in the body, but these are God's office gifts. The office of apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, man, and we must respect them if we respect something from God. So your attitude, it will determine if you respect God or not so much the person. Because that is his anointing, that is his choosing. And if you respect God choosing, then God respects you. Again, if you cannot respect the man, respect the office he holds in God. That's exactly right. See, respect him. If a minister come up, your pastor always respect him. I have heard a congregation talk about the pastor. How just talk about him, run him down, ridicule him. How is the pastor ever going to do anything for you? If we don't have confidence on what God has placed in that pastor, might as well just find some place that you believe can help you, because he won't be able to help you if we're trying to correct. How can do it? You don't. Don't say this church, but I mean churches I have seen that if you have got to love your pastor, you have to know that he's human being, but yet God has made him his pastor. You got that? God made him his, is that your pastor? It is his pastor. Now, he's giving your pastor as a gift to you. See, it says the Holy Ghost has made him an overseer. Then you have got to respect him in that manner. And no matter what the pastor done, if you respect him and you are as God's servant, God will respect you for doing that. Now, rejoicing. Brahman says, now it is your mental attitude, approach. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of what? Their unbelief, their attitude. You know, I want to see this church on fire. Yes. So we need to come to the door with the right mental attitude. Towards each other, towards the gift of God, towards the anointing, people that he's anointed. We're not going to get out of here until we get all together in unity. It's just not going to happen that way. But God is going to speak to me, and I'm going, the day that I'm gone, no, one here, one there. No. The body has to unite together before we leave this place. Right. Amen. Amen. Bartimaeus says, thank you, Lord Jesus. You have accepted me. But say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. And just have a good prayer, see? And tell him how you love him. And then go out and serve him with heart full of love and gratitude. Amen. See? And he will bless you. Come through those doors with gratitude. Amen. Less attitude and more gratitude when you come through those doors. And God will bless you. Amen. I'm going to think I'm going to leave it here. Mostly true. A couple of months, that's it. Gratitude, about gratitude. A quality of being thankful, readiness, appreciation for, and kindness, and return kindness. But the brother says, here in teaching on Moses, I think I took this off. You don't have it. Because I wasn't planning to come this far. So if I wasn't planning to come this far, I'm not going that far. No, I'm not. I'm not kidding. Shall we stand? Sorry, because it has not been a preaching. It's more like a teaching to you. And I'm not teaching this because I think there's something wrong in the church. The way God directs me, and I have a thought, he gives me a thought, and then it's out of my hand after I start writing and researching. It just goes away from me. He tells me where to go and where I find the next verse and when I go here and when I go there and what to put. It's out of, after I yield myself to God, it's out of my hands. I wanted to bring something else, and this is what it turned out to be. So, I just want you to know that God loves you. He will not spend time on telling you what's right or wrong. If he doesn't love you, he loves you. And he wants that in this body, at least, we have the right mental attitude towards everything that we do in this church. Because I want to be blessed. You want to be blessed? Every time you come to this church, you could be blessed. Amen? So let us, less of us and more of Jesus. Less attitude and more gratitude when you come to those doors. Amen. What is, I don't know. That's all right. You want to sing something? I cannot sing. Huh? Yeah, it started and then I can follow. Oh, here you go. You guys testing me, huh? God bless you.